Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Good to be with you. Greetings again from sunny South Florida, where the coronavirus is dead because it's like 86 degrees and somewhat humid down here in sunny South Florida. I feel like a little bit of Rush Limbaugh rubbing off there, because that's what he gets to say 5 days a week, sunny South Florida. And it's nice to be down here. The coronavirus is dead. Viruses don't survive in sunny, hot weather. And hot and humid weather, and that's just truth. That's just reality if we bother to deal with that anymore in the new normal. So I said this yesterday. I'm saying it again now. I just want to simply spend the show today hearing from you. I'd like to hear where you're at. Maybe you were at the protest yesterday, and you want to share about that, what you've heard about that. But especially if you were there, if you were actually at the protest, that was the Reopen NC protest in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you want to talk about that, just where you're at as the medical information and the scientific information continues to come in, as YouTube removes videos from ER doctors because they don't match up with what the World Health Organization has to say, because, you know, that's part of the Big Brother scheme, apparently. So you've got everywhere where there's pushback medically and scientifically on the narrative, which is this is like the worst thing since the Spanish flu, the 1918 pandemic, and we need to shut the entire country down. And now you have all these reopening. States are reopening, but these reopenings, just about all of them, including here in North Carolina, are staged. They're like multi-stages, and those stages could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks per stage. So is that really a reopening? It's kind of a soft opening, right? And so what do you think about that? What do you think about what you see in the government? If you want to talk about the federal government, you want to talk about your state government, you want to talk about Governor Cooper if you're here in North Carolina, you want to talk about the protests, how you're handling COVID. What is COVID-19? What is this whole pandemic? Now I want to do air quotes. Every time I say pandemic, I want to do air quotes for some reason, because I hated science. I've always hated science. But now I'm reading science stuff and watching science videos coming out my ears, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, now we have science and politics are converged, and it's just crazy. But I do want to hear from you today. So here's the phone number. I'll keep saying it, and I just want you to call in. If I don't say another word for the rest of the show other than thanks for being here, that would be just fine with me, because we need to have this dialogue, not controlled by the media, but what you want to say is controlled by you. So you call in here, and I'm happy to share the platform with you. 866-348-7884 is the number, as always. 866-348-7884. How is this affecting your life, your business, your income, your family? Were you at the protest? Do you want to say something about the federal government, the local and state government? The police have been caught in some unfortunate circumstances and arrested four people yesterday, set up an arbitrary line in the sand. And what do you do with that? What do you do with Romans 13? Are you struggling? Because we're supposed to submit to the governing authorities, right? So what are Christians doing out there protesting on the streets? Maybe you're struggling with that one. 866-348-7884 is our number, as always. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Really, just want to get reports from you guys. You guys are on the front lines, too. You don't have to be an ER doctor working in New York City to be on the front lines. We're all on the front lines on this deal. Right? And so we've got kind of this new normal. We've got Anthony Fauci saying, hey, we should probably never shake hands again, all kinds of crazy stuff. But now you do have more and more information coming out that's counter to the main narrative. It's counter to the Armageddon, shut it all down. We can't go back to new normal. Everybody stay inside. Everybody hide. Everybody cower. And now those types of narratives, those counter narratives are coming out, and this beast is not going to be put down easily. And so they're getting pushed back on. The ER doctors that I've played a couple clips on the show from the last week, the ER doctors now are being slammed by other people in the scientific community. And these guys don't know what they're talking about. And it's a biased research. They're going to say that about everything that counters the Fauci Burks narrative, that counters the modeling narrative, that counters what the federal and state government has done, where they've been draconian. They're going to try to put down all of those things. This is a new game here, friends. And is this the new normal? Do you want to keep it like this? Is this a police state? Are we in a pseudo soft police state? Dennis Prager, who's not given to hyperbolic language. I really don't think so. He's generally very calm, serious Jew, very intelligent, conservative man. Our dress rehearsal for a police state. He just put that out today or yesterday, April 28th. Our dress rehearsal for a police state. And I'm struggling. And by the way, please call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 with your impressions, how this is affecting you. What do you think of the governmental response? What about all these contradictory reports now and studies and antibodies? Anything you want to talk about with respect to the COVID-19 situation here in America, I'd be happy to share the time with you today. 866-348-7884. And for those of you calling in right now, when we're going to get you on hold, I'm going to hit the break here in about 2 minutes. So I want to be able to give you the amount of time that you need to share what you want to share. So I'll start taking calls right after the break. But get in line now so that we can get your views heard. I want to hear from you and how this is affecting you. This is what we do in America. This is what we're supposed to do. We speak up. We speak out. And we can push back on the narrative coming from government, coming from the scientific community. There's science, like Steve Dace was talking about last week, and scientism. There's the COVID-19 virus, and there's the COVID-19 agenda. And these things are all starting. I don't want to sound like Alex Jones. I don't want to be like a catastrophist like Glenn Beck calls himself. That's not who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm pretty calm in all this, but I am increasingly alarmed by what I'm seeing. So what do you think? Questions for me, responses, your experience, what you think is going on out there. Are you concerned for the future of this nation? Are you concerned for our rights? Are you concerned for the Constitution? What do you think? This is a big deal. I taught two of my classes today. I'll teach two of my classes tomorrow, high school age homeschoolers, and I'm telling them, listen, don't just go through this. Pay attention. These are monumental times that are setting up this nation in the future. And that's the future that we're dropping in your laps. I'm talking to high school students earlier today, and I'll be talking to a bunch of them tomorrow, telling them this is we're readjusting, we're changing what it means to live in America. We're doing it right in front of you, and you should be paying attention to that. Okay, so whatever you want to say on the subject, I'm happy to have you join me today on the air. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Bruce, I'm going to get to you first when we come back. Then I'm going to get to Julia. And then the other lines are people calling in. I want to share, want you to share today how this is affecting you. Maybe it's your business. Maybe you've talked to elected officials. Maybe it's your income. Maybe you think we all need to stay inside. I'm not going to beat you up on the air. I may disagree with you, but I'm never going to hammer you. Not on the air. My Christian witness is too important for that. When I'm here on the air, I'm always going to try to treat you with respect. So never be afraid. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. I'm going to get to this story in a minute. Pastor Rodney Finch, great pastor in the Raleigh area, buddy of mine. Just put this up on my Facebook page about some guy in Apex, North Carolina, which is kind of a suburb of Raleigh, gets arrested because he opened his tattoo parlor. Opened his tattoo parlor. Why? Because he hasn't gotten any money from anybody. And he's got to pay for his house. He's got to feed his kids. And he's thinking, I can't last until June. He hasn't gotten any money. And so they arrested him. I'll share a little bit more about that, but that's truly just staggering and scary. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Bruce, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve Noble. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Great hearing from you. I listened to you a lot, but this is the first time I called.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Thank you.
It's a lot of I'm seeing a lot of the hype in the news media and everything. I honestly believe that they want the drug companies to come up with a drug because the drug is going to raise the cost to people, whereas the other drugs that they're currently using, the drug like for malaria,
it's hydroxychloroquine,
it's cheap.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's so cheap.
They're looking at ways to make a new drug because then they can make money.
When you say who do you mean by that when you say they?
Basically, the drug companies, because people are saying, you know, if the news media says that it's going to snow tomorrow, they're going to get their snow shovels out,
right,
even though it's 90 degrees.
Right.
So they don't have faith in God above. The pandemic, I think, I'm wondering if sometimes if God didn't send this as a warning. because if you're reading everything and you hear everything, people are going and they're going, oh man, you know, God wouldn't do this. But if he sends stuff out, like a friend of mine told me, he said, God's doing things so that people go to the left or to the right. And then when he comes back, all he has to do is say, you need to take the road down and you need to take the stairs up.
Yeah, yeah.
And third point is the news media. The news media is going to bring up anything that's negative because they haven't figured out in all their years of work that they need to come up with human interest stories that are true.
Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah, truth doesn't apparently sell anymore. And it's all politically based anyway.
And the last thing is, have faith.
Amen.
Now, talk to God. Ask Amen. Him. He will be there.
That's right. Bruce, thanks so much. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your encouraging words. And Big Pharma, is that involved? Are there profit motives here? Certainly. And Fauci's a big vax guy. And so is Bill Gates, and Bill Gates and Fauci. Now this all starts sounding wacky, doesn't it? But there's just too many pieces out there to ignore. And you start going, okay, well, they want people vaccinated worldwide. And gosh, what if we vaccinate them? And then now you got to have a vaccination ID card. And do we want to issue another card? I don't know. Maybe we'll just give you some kind of an injection so we have a tracking device. That's all crazy stuff. And no matter what your eschatology is, this is all setting up nicely for end times thinking, is it not? And even that, I don't easily say that. It's not for us to know the day or the time. But we are to pay attention to the season. And this season is dark and it's confusing. And chaos is the devil's playground. It's never God's. Okay, remember that. Let's go to Julia, who's calling in from Raleigh. Thanks for calling, Julia. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
One of the things that concerns me the most is that it feels like through all of this that the Christians are being persecuted and our freedom of speech is being taken away. Just like you were referencing at the beginning of the show, several things that I've seen from doctors and different scientists that counter what the World Health Organization and the CDC say, and Fauci and Burke, you know, they've been taken off. There are several things that I've sent to people, and on Facebook, you know, YouTube has blocked them, and it says that they don't align with
right.
the World Health Organization standard. That is very concerning to me because you can go to YouTube. You know, I accidentally stumbled on a site yesterday for radical Islam. It's perfectly fine. YouTube doesn't have a problem with that misaligning with One Nation Under God. You can
apparently
find
not.
That all day long and whatever else. But yet, you know, anything that opposes this agenda is being blocked. What concerns me, and just like yesterday, the coverage of the protest downtown, I wanted to go, but I'm dealing with a mother that's in the hospice right now, and I wanted to be down there. But yeah. The spin on the news media, especially the local news, is that they interview and cut and edit to where they take comments that make these people look like the narrative that they're portraying, that anybody that's supporting this is an unintelligent,
right.
You know, buffoon.
Exactly.
So how do we, my question to you is, I'm getting so angry about all of this. I'm not fearful because I know God's got everything under control.
Yes, ma'am.
But how do we as Christians unite, you know, as one body to fight this? And a lot of Christians, you know, are taking the side of the World Health Organization. I've got, you know, there's several friends and we debate back and forth. So it's still interesting to see, like you said, some go left and some go right, like your last caller just said. But what can we do? I listen to your show. You know, I talk to other friends, we correspond, but that's all being tracked and blocked. You know, do you have any suggestions? What do we do to help unite? And obviously the main thing we can do is pray every day without
right, exactly. Yep.
For this. But I would love to hear, you know, where's the rallying call? Sign me up. Let's get the organization together. I think they tried it with Open NC, and they're, you know, the media is spinning them as a bunch of,
sure.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Radical idiots.
Which was to be expected. Yeah, that's always going to happen, especially with this media that we have now. And Julia, on the other side of the break, I'm going to address all that. I just took some notes, so I'm going to do that. I got to get to my other caller, but I'll come back and talk about what can we do in all of this, who can we trust, and as Christians, what do we do? I'll hit that on the other side of the break, okay?
Great. Thank you.
God bless you, Julia. Thanks for calling in. Thank you so much. Let's go to Mike calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Mike, you're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Steve!
Yo, bro.
I don't do politics that much. It's just not my thing. But one of the things I did notice is that you haven't heard word one from Joe Biden.
Nothing. Isn't that amazing? So what do you think's up with that, Mike?
I just think they're trying to keep him sheltered so he doesn't say something.
Yes, I think that's probably when you have that situation on your hands. If you're Joe Biden's campaign manager, Mike, I'm sure you would do the same thing, because the more he talks, the deeper the hole gets. And I try not to, and think so. And was there another point you wanted to make, Mike? That's a good one.
That was it.
Okay, thanks, man. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. And with Joe Biden, I mean, he's said a couple of things here and there, but I think if his campaign's smart, and I don't know that they are, then you just kind of play it cool. You watch this unfold. You see how things are going, because you don't know yet what side you should be coming down on. You don't know if you should step in and say, hey, I really appreciate the federal government here, but I think Trump could have acted sooner. Or it's just like you hammer Trump that he ever went down the road that he went down, and now we've got 26, 27 million people unemployed. We're going to get more unemployment numbers tomorrow. But with Joe Biden, he's not saying anything, because he's really, unfortunately, and I don't say this out of jest or out of a hard heart, he's not capable of saying much anymore. I can't believe he's even running. Just get the guy off the stage. He needs to retire. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. If you want to chime in, your thoughts, your experiences through COVID-19, I'm going to get to this North Carolina tattoo parlor owner who was arrested earlier today trying to pay for his house, trying to feed his kids. He hasn't gotten any government money. He hasn't gotten the free $1,200 check. Free. That's funny. Nothing is free. He hasn't gotten that. Got nothing. Didn't get any loan money. So he goes back in. And if you want to share your story, if you want to share your experience, where you're at with the whole coronavirus thing, what our government's doing, what our state governments are doing, stay inside, go outside. Are you worried about a police state? What do you think about all this? Where are you at now? Because it probably is a little different than where you were at 4 weeks ago on this issue, because this is unfolding daily. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let me tell you the story, and then I'm going to go back to what Julia called earlier and said, well, what do we do as Christians? Here's this story. And Pastor Rodney Finch, buddy of mine in the Raleigh area, put this up, and so thank you. And I just did a search and found it. North Carolina tattoo parlor owner arrested after reopening despite the governor's orders. Okay, so does he have a right to run his business, open or close his business? Do people have an individual right to decide whether they want to go out and frequent his business? If they want to go there, don't they have self-determination? Don't they have a right to do that? Isn't that what we are all about in America? The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, liberty, freedom, self-determination, the pursuit of happiness. No, then we're going to shut that down. We're going to remove your right to the pursuit of happiness, which was a part of the Declaration of Independence. And then the Constitution is a governing document. The Declaration of Independence was a statement of our justification for the impending war of revolution, and a statement of our worldview as a nation. And then the Constitution is, okay, now let's put that worldview into action. And so the government, and where's due process in that, by the way? You're going to shut me down and keep me from earning a living, and I don't have any due process here? See the problems? Matthew Jax Myers vowed to open his Apex Tattoo Parlor in defiance of North Carolina's stay-at-home order, insisting his rights had been trampled and his business ruined. But 10 minutes after he flicked on the red open sign Wednesday afternoon, police led him away in handcuffs, placing him under arrest. Somebody probably narked on him. That's where in that. We're in the narc land now, too. The United Narc Nations of America. Now we're being... This just feeds into all of our human depravity. So sad. Myers, 38, said that he knew his act would get him charged, but under Cooper's order, he is losing so much money that he fears he will lose his new house and fail to feed his three children as soon as June. He said neither he nor any other small business owners he knows have received any small business loans or federal paycheck protection program money, and he only got approval for insufficient unemployment payment after 13 attempts to sign up. Quote, I hope this will inspire other people to do the same, he said shortly before his arrest. You can arrest one person, but you can't arrest all these people. Myers had been joining the reopen NC protests in downtown Raleigh in his Apex tattoo factory. He has both a copy of the Constitution on the front door and a Don't Tread on Me flag in the window. He said his business, like all tattoo parlors, is inspected by Wake County health workers, and he has gone beyond normal levels of sanitation by limiting who can come inside and disinfecting every 1.5 hours. He has several months of backed up work waiting. If people are willing to take the risk, he said, it's their body and their choice. Wow, where have we heard that before? My body, my choice. The liberal mantra from sea to shining sea, over 60 million dead babies' bodies. It's my body, my choice. Not anymore. Not when the forces of big government say it isn't. They are God. That's what happens in a nation that turns itself from God. Nature abhors a vacuum. So if we're not going to submit to ourselves to God, who do we look to? From where does our help come from? The federal government? The feds? Donald Trump? Governor Cooper? Where does our help come from? See how this works? Sick. Sick. And in many ways, demonic. Okay? So God bless that guy. We need. If you're a small business owner, I'll encourage. I'm on public radio. I'll encourage you. I think you need to defy the order. That's what I would do if I had a small business owner. I'd be like, hey, I haven't gotten any money. I need to feed my family. I need to pay my bills. I have a right to provide for myself. I'm called as a Christian to provide for my family. You can't remove that right from me. I'll be responsible. I'll do social distancing. I'll pay attention to the details. I'll get after the truth. I'm not just going to buy the Fauci Burks narrative. I don't know why Trump did, other than fear and in the moment, and he's between a rock and a hard place. I hear that all the time, and I say that largely too. He was between a rock and a hard place. Sir, if we don't do anything, 2 million people are going to die, and they're going to die in the next 4 months, and that's going to be on you. Say goodbye to the second term of your presidency. And 2 million Americans, Mr. President, if you don't act. We got the head of the National Institute of Health. We got the CDC. We got Fauci. We got Burks. We got all these people. All deep state people, by the way. All these people that have been in the Fed for a while, especially Fauci. And so, okay, let's go. And again, I said it yesterday. I'm like, okay, as a business person, I'm thinking, I'm not going to make the biggest decision in the history, probably in the history of the country. I really think it might be the biggest decision in the history of the country in terms of the number of people and the devastation brought on by the economic destruction of America right now. And do you make that, Pastor Rodney, thanks for that. Nobody narked on him. He mentioned live feed on Tuesday is planning to open on Wednesday. But somebody, would the Apex Police been monitoring that? I don't know. They found out somehow. Anyway, I don't want to get off the track, but thanks for that information. So go get me all the smart people, smart as you or smarter than you, that disagree. We're not going to tank this economy because two or three people that have been in the federal government, who Trump's been in there, right? Drain the swamp. So you're going to believe the swamp? Man, it's just crazy. Okay. To Julia's question, what do we do? And then Josephine on Facebook Live said this: hey, we pray, we trust, and we do. So we need to be praying about this. Some Christians, it's like, hey, I think we just need to trust the Lord here and do nothing. Okay, well, there comes a time when praying is not the only thing you do. And when people are not able to take care of themselves and their families, you have to care about your neighbor that way. And when the government is violating your neighbor's rights to provide for themselves, I think that's a time where you don't just pray and trust. You do. Out of neighbor love, which flows out of God love. Okay, and to think we could get all Christians together, all the evangelicals Christians together, nope, because there's flesh and there's sin. You're never going to get complete agreement in the Christian world until Jesus comes back and establishes it, and then we'll all be totally off the same page, off the same sheet of music, because we'll be in heaven, heaven will come to earth, and all the sin and all the garbage will be gone, we'll be perfectly unified. But in the meantime, yes, call your legislators. Emailing legislators, by the way, doesn't hardly do anything anymore. They just delete it, all right? Especially if you're sending the same email language that everybody else is. Pray for them. Call them. Call your state legislator, your legislator in the House, and your state senator. Call the governor's office. Consistently call. Encourage your other people to call. Be firm, but be polite. And say, I disagree. We need to open up. This is ridiculous. You're ruining people's lives. We don't need to a one-size-fits-all. You don't have to say a lot, but you have to raise that level and show up at a protest if you feel like you need to be there. I think it's fine. The protests can get out of control. There's going to be bad apples in every group. I thought some people acted ridiculously yesterday, but you're going to get that too. But if you're a Christian, remember your witness, okay? So I wouldn't be calling cops pigs or something if I'm a Christian. If I'm a Christ follower, no, that's never acceptable. Can you defy them? Sure you can. But do you call names and do that? No, you got to be really careful. But call legislators and pray and encourage other people. Be talking to other people. Be willing to have the conversation. You got to do all that stuff. Okay, so here's one. This was interesting. A New York ER doctor on the front line of COVID-19 battle explains why America should reopen immediately. What? Wait a second. A New York City ER doctor. One emergency room doctor who's been on the front line of the coronavirus fight in the New York City says it's time to reopen America. This guy's going to get crushed. Leaning on his experience treating COVID-19 patients, Dr. Daniel Murphy, chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at St. Barnabas Hospital in the Bronx, explained in an essay for the New York Post why he believes America should strongly consider reopening. Number one, the curve is flattening. He said at 1 p.m. on April 7th, the COVID-19 arrivals slowed down. It was a discrete, noticeable event, he wrote. Stretchers became available by 5 p.m. and the number of arriving COVID-19 patients dropped below the number discharged, transferred, or deceased. This was striking, he wrote, because the community I serve is poor. Some are homeless. My work is essential, low-paying jobs, where distancing isn't easy. Nevertheless, the wave passed over has peaked and subsided. Number two, non-COVID care has plummeted, which is bad. According to Murphy, his ER has seen a significant drop in COVID-19. This is happening across the nation, by the way. As the paranoia takes over, we got to shut down all the regular services, and it's all about COVID-19. And then in most hospitals and most places around the country, there was never a surge. So he's talking about New York City. His ER, which he said normally sees 240 patients per day, is now averaging fewer than 100. Quote, that means our patients in this diverse low-income community are afraid to come to the ER for non-COVID care. I wonder if they'll count those deaths as COVID-related. Of course not. Number three, COVID fear is overamplified. Again, this is an ER doctor in New York City. Inordinate fear misguides the public response, Murphy explained. While COVID-19 is serious, fear of it is being overamplified. The public needs to understand that the vast majority of infected people do quite well. This is at theblaze.com, by the way. Number four, COVID is more prevalent than we know. Murphy said that more people have contracted COVID-19 than have tested positive for the virus. So what does that mean? That means the denominator's off. That means we've had tens of millions of people in this country that have already had it. I'm getting antibody tested on Monday, so is my wife. And I think there's a decent chance we had it already. So you've got, instead of having 2 million people, you've got 30 million people. So you're off by factors of 20, which means you're overstating the lethality by the same factors. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'm trying to not rant. I'm trying to educate. I'm trying to take in as much as I can. I'm like a funnel, okay? I'm the big part of the funnel. I'm at the top. I'm taking in stuff all the time, and then I'm funneling it down, trying to get down to brass tacks and truth and numbers that we can trust from sources that are outside the mainstream media and outside of the federal apparatus that's been driving this whole thing. And then give this, bring it down in the funnel, and then bring it out to you Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, okay? But we're not doing COVID-19 every day. Tomorrow I'll have Dr. Ant Greenham on. It's Theology Thursday. He's at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, served as a diplomat for a while in Jordan. He's from South Africa. He's brilliant, an expert on world religions. So we're going to push away from this table tomorrow, and we're going to talk about some other things, okay? Because it's not healthy for any of us to dine on this all the time. Politics, don't dine on that all the time. We've got enough gluttonous problems here in America. Let's not add to it. So every once in a while, I'll push back. If you're selling your joy down the table, push back away from this stuff. Push back away from this show if you have to. Push back away from social media. Somebody recently said, I think it was a pastor that said, we should treat our smartphones like kids, like little kids. You put them down to bed early at night so you can have a little time to yourself or you and your spouse. And then in the morning, don't get them up too early. You got some things to do. You got to get ready for the day. Let them sleep in a little bit like it's summer. And then once you're ready for the day, then you wake them up. What a great word for what we should be doing with our smartphones. Isn't that good? Okay. So while we've brought an atom bomb to a knife fight and we're using a shotgun instead of a laser and we're treating the whole country as if it were New York City, we had that New York City ER head of the department that I was just reading from that article. He's like, yeah, we need to reopen up now. All these things have been overblown. It's serious, but it's not serious for everybody. It's not serious for most people. And the vast majority of people that have COVID-19 didn't even know they had it and got over it. And then we're not outside, so we're not developing natural immunity. So we stay inside, which keeps you weak. And then when you finally do come out, you never had a chance to get strong. And so next winter, when it comes back, but it's still, even then, it's not nearly as deadly, except for people like this. This is a story. This is horrific. As we've been applying the same bandage to the entire country, how did this happen? More than 50 veterans have died from COVID-19 at a soldier's home in Holyoke. But staff say the situation is improving. The soldier's home in Holyoke reported its first positive case of the coronavirus on March 22nd. 4 weeks later, 63 veterans have died. 52 of them had confirmed cases of COVID, which does not mean they died of COVID-19, by the way. It just means that they were found to have COVID-19. That's happening in morgues across the country. Okay, we're testing in autopsies. We're testing. Oh, they got hit by, this literally has happened. Somebody fell off a building. Somebody died of head trauma. Somebody died of heart attack. They have COVID-19. They test them. They're positive COVID-19. Oh, that's COVID-19 related death. None of these numbers can be trusted. That's why you have to push back against them with other sources that don't have, appear to have, the same motivation as the federal government. Another 94 living residents and 81 employees had the virus, according to the State Executive Office of Health and Human Services. So while this place should have been targeted and helped early on, the federal government's I think there's 5,000 ventilators. DeSantis here in Florida said they're sitting on 5,000 ventilators that they never needed. And so I've said this so many times in the last 3 weeks. I'm so convinced of it now that we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. The most colossal mismanagement in the history of America. And Donald Trump owns part of that. Now, again, I think he was caught between a rock and a hard place, and we better be praying for him. If you don't pray for the president, but you castigate him all the time, you complain about him all the time, and you're a Christian, shame on you. You got to get on the right side of the scriptures there, okay? Whether you like him or not, whether you appreciate his tweets or not, you're definitely called to pray for him. All of those in authority over us, okay? But my goodness, he's going to have to own his part of it too. Then I saw this. Now, Dennis Prager, who's big-time conservative talk radio guy, Salem Network, all over the country, brilliant guy, right? At Prager University, great resources. I don't think he's given to hyperbole. So when I saw this, I was like, whoa, our dress rehearsal for a police state by Dennis Prager. He released this yesterday. All my life, I'm going to read this whole thing to you. It's not that long, so stay with me. All my life, I have dismissed paranoids on the right, quote unquote, America's headed to communism, and the left. It can't happen here, referring to fascism. It's not that I've ever believed liberty was guaranteed. Being familiar with history and a pessimist regarding the human condition, I never believed that, I would agree. But the ease with which police state tactics have been employed and the equal ease by which most Americans have accepted them has been breathtaking. Totally agree. We've been saying that for a few weeks, that we just laid down. First couple weeks, fine, love your neighbor. Absolutely. But after that, and we just cower? That's why I said we're all in the womb now. You got 335 million Americans acting like they're troubled pregnancies in the womb and fighting for their lives, which the unborn children can't do, which is why we must, by the way. People will argue, he writes, that a temporary police state has been justified because of the allegedly unique threat to life posed by the new coronavirus. I do not believe the data will bear that out. Regardless, let us at least agree that we are closer to a police state than ever in American history. In these trying times, we must turn to the greatest document in the history of the world to promise freedom and opportunity to its citizens for guidance. Which, of course, is what? That's the Constitution. Police state, Prager writes, does not mean totalitarian state. America is not a totalitarian state. We still have many freedoms. In a totalitarian state, this article could not be legally published. And if it were illegally published, I could be imprisoned and or executed. But we are living presently with all four of the key hallmarks of a police state. Number one. Draconian laws depriving citizens of elementary civil rights. The federal, state, county, and city governments are now restricting almost every freedom except those of travel and speech. Americans have been banned from going to work and thereby earning a living. meeting in groups, both indoors and outdoors, meeting in their cars and church parking lots to pray, and entertaining state-owned properties such as beaches and parks, among many other prohibitions. Number two, a mass media supportive of the state's messaging and deprivation of rights. The New York Times, CNN, and every other mainstream mass medium, except Fox News, The Wall Street, I think Fox News has jumped in there too, by the way. The Wall Street Journal, editorial and opinion pages only, and talk radio have served the cause of state control over individual Americans' lives just as Pravda served the Soviet government. In fact, there's almost no more dissent in the New York Times than there was in Pravda. And the big tech platforms are removing posts about the virus and potential treatments that they deem misinformation. And who's their guideline there at YouTube, by the way? The World Health Organization. Number three, use of police. Police departments throughout America have agreed to enforce these laws and edicts with what can only be described as frightening alacrity. After hearing me describing police giving summonses to or even arresting people for playing baseball with their children on a beach, jogging alone without a mask, or worshiping on Easter while sitting isolated in their cars in a church parking lot, a police officer called my show. This is Dennis Prager, okay? He explained that the police have no choice. They must respond to every dispatch they receive. And why are they dispatched to a person jogging on a beach or sitting alone in a park, I asked. Because the department was informed about these lawbreakers. And who told the police about these lawbreakers, I asked. His answer brings us to the fourth characteristic of a police state. Number four, snitches. How do the police dispatchers learn of lawbreakers such as families playing softball in a public park, lone joggers without face masks, etc.? From their fellow citizens snitching on them. The mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, set up a snitch line whereby New Yorkers were told to send authorities photos of fellow New Yorkers violating any of the quarantine laws. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti similarly encouraged snitching, unabashedly using the term. By the way, they did this in Greensboro, too, where I watched pastors get arrested for praying outside of an abortion clinic. It is said, Dennis Prager writes, that about one in every 100 East German citizens were informers for the Stasi, the East German secret police, as superbly portrayed in the film The Lives of Others. It would be interesting and, I think, important to know what percentage of New Yorkers informed on their fellow citizens. Now again, you may think such a comparison is not morally valid, that de Blasio's call to New Yorkers to serve Stasi-like role was morally justified given the coronavirus pandemic. But you cannot deny that it is Stasi-like. Or that, other than identifying spies during World War II, this is unprecedented in American history at anywhere near this level. This past Friday night, I gathered with six others for a Shabbat dinner with friends in Santa Monica, California. On my Friday radio show, I announced I would be doing that, and if I was arrested, it would be worth it. In my most pessimistic dreams, I never imagined that in America, having dinner at a friend's house would be an act of civil disobedience, perhaps even a criminal act. But that is precisely what happens in a police state. This is Dennis Prager. He wrote this. This came out yesterday. The reason I believe this is a dress rehearsal is that too many Americans appear untroubled by it. The dominant force in America, the left, supports it. And one of the two major political parties has been taken over by the left. Democrats and their supporters have, in effect, announced that they will use state power to enforce any law that they can to combat the even greater existential crisis of global warming. On the CNN website this weekend, in one of the most frightening and fanatical articles in an era of fanaticism, Bill Weir, CNN chief climate correspondent, wrote an open letter to his newborn son. In it, he wrote of his idealized future for America, quote, completely new forms of power, food, construction, transportation, economics, and politics, unquote. You cannot get there without a police state. Dennis Prager writes and finishes up with this. If you love liberty, you must see that it is jeopardized more than at any other time since America's founding. And that means, among other things, that at this time, a vote for any Democrat is a vote to end liberty. Okay, that's Dennis Prager. But I would also caution all of us. Make sure you're paying attention to how every Republican is handling this, too. There's more and more Republican governors stepping out and saying, I'm getting my people back to work. Which is federalism, by the way. Small, unobtrusive federal government. Expansive, independent state governments. Man, this is very dangerous, people. Very dangerous time. We always pray, by the way, on Facebook Live at the end of the show. So if you want to join us for prayer, this is what we're going to be praying about. We'll pray about it on Facebook Live. So just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook and you can join us in prayer as we finish. Serious days. Get educated. Read. Pay attention. Don't just buy the narrative. Don't be too trusting. Everybody's selling stuff all the time. And our allegiance is to the truth if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And I certainly hope you are. If you're not, or if you don't know, Go to my website, by the way, thestevenobleshow.com, and hit the heaven button. You'll learn all about that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, I can just hear him in this environment. Ever forward.